Renters and homebuyers are struggling with the state's housing shortage right now, but it's especially difficult for Wisconsin's marginalized communities. It's Friday, February 17th. This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Hope Kerwin. Coming up, Anya Van Wagtendonk reports on parts of the state budget where Democrats and Republicans might find middle ground. And we've got a story about how one western Wisconsin county got its unusual shape. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Wisconsin's housing shortage has posed major hurdles for renters and homebuyers, but as Joe Schultz reports, it's been especially difficult for the state's marginalized communities.
A recent study says Wisconsin needs to build at least 140,000 housing units by 2030 to keep up with demand. That's created more competition for every available unit. And a new report from the city of Green Bay says people of color, the LGBTQ community, and domestic violence victims often struggle to find affordable housing. Robin Scott is with the African American Resource Center in Green Bay. She spoke to the city council about the issue last week.
We serve so many clients every day at our agency, from domestic violence to sexual assault to youth programming. And the number one disparity that exists right now in our community is sadly housing.
Landlords say rent increases are due to high demand and stagnant supply. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers says he's confident that some of his budget priorities could enjoy bipartisan support, but Republican leaders say they'll rewrite that budget from scratch. Anya Van Wagtendonk reports on where the parties might find middle ground.
On Wednesday, Evers called for the legislature to pass what he called common sense proposals. Republicans likened his spending request to Oprah Winfrey handing out gifts to everyone. Bipartisan compromise in the state is rare, says Jason Stein of the Wisconsin Policy Forum.
That being said, there's probably a better chance of compromise in this budget than between the two parties than at any time I've seen in at least 10 years.
Stein says that's because the state has more money in its coffers than ever before. He says shared revenue for local communities may be one area for compromise. While that's been a source of partisanship before, both parties say they want local funding for law enforcement and first responders. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
As Governor Tony Evers seeks billions for education in the next state budget, some administrators are proposing to close schools within their districts. That's in response to ongoing challenges with declining enrollment and state aid. The Wausau School Board approved a plan this week that would close five of the district's 13 elementary schools. It would also merge its two high schools and reconfigure the district's middle schools. Wausau isn't alone. Superior School District Administrator Amy Starzecki says it's also weighing whether to close one of its elementary schools.
We continue to see a slow decline in student enrollment. So anytime you see that slow decline in enrollment, you need to make adjustments.
A researcher with UW-Madison's Applied Population Lab says public schools have seen a steady decline in enrollment since 2013. That's due largely to a drop in births. Evers wants $2.6 billion for schools in the next state budget. Officials in Chippewa County are ramping up enforcement of spring weight limits on roads after excessive damage from heavy trucks. But dairy groups say a new permit created for milk trucks to continue operating is a burden. The county highway commissioner announced that milk haulers should apply for an annual overweight permit to continue operating during the spring thaw. Ken Bremer is head of Venture Dairy Cooperative. She says the permit requirement creates logistical problems for milk haulers, and the county should have done more to consult the dairy industry on a solution. She believes state lawmakers intended for milk trucks to be exempt from the road bans similar to utilities and septic trucks.
And I do think it exposes a more inherent problem, which is at the state level, one, fixing the statute, and two, focusing on better road funding. And I don't think that road funding needs to come from one industry.
But the highway commissioner says the permits are meant to allow the dairy industry to keep operating without fear of citation. He says the county can't afford to not prevent road damage from heavy trucks each spring. Coming up after the break, we've got a story from Wisconsin Life about how Pepin County got its unique shape. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with the answer to a Wisconsin question about a county and its curious shape.
Dunn County in western Wisconsin once had access to the Mississippi River. Its early boundary held for a few years until its southernmost portion got swept up in politics and emerged as Pepin County. Liz Domes-Harder brings us the answer to a Wisconsin question about how Pepin County got its unique shape.
Take a look at a map of Wisconsin. It's 65,000 square miles, cut into 72 counties by relatively boxy borders. There are some exceptions. For one, Pepin County in western Wisconsin that shares a border with the Mississippi River.
The shape of this county looks like a square root symbol, and it's super tiny.
That's Joe Hackbarth. He's a physical education teacher at La Crosse Logan High School. As a fan of geography, he wanted to know how Pepin County got its shape.
I should probably say I have nothing against Pepin County, but I saw the map and it just struck me as, well, that's kind of curious. You know, why does it exist?
When Wisconsin became a state, there already were 28 counties. Here's Howard Varigan, the state's cartographer.
Pepin was part of what was then Chippewa County, which at that time was a much larger entity than Chippewa County is today.
Basically, a wide strip from the Mississippi River northeast to present-day Iron County. Large counties weren't ideal back in the day, especially when services were dispatched from the county seat. For Chippewa County, that was Chippewa Falls.
At Pepin, when we were part of Chippewa, it took 2 days to ride to Chippewa Falls.
That's Terry Mesh. Behind a face mask, he points to a framed map showing the county's former boundary. The map is hung in the hall of the Old Courthouse Museum in Durand, where Mesh is a volunteer manager and tour guide.
So the closer you were to the seat of justice, the sooner you would get service, etc. That's what drove the creation of smaller and smaller counties.
Some men fought hard for that. Men like William Boyd Newcomb, who platted the village of Pepin. In his fight, Newcomb helped carve a piece out of Chippewa County to establish Dunn County. Dunn County was divided into seven new townships. In the south were Pepin and Bear Creek.
William Boyd Newcomb merely asked for the severing, cutting off of these two townships and forming them into Pepin County.
Why? Because he felt slighted by the county he had a hand in establishing. In 1854, he was appointed Dunn County Register of Deeds to fill a vacant seat. Finding qualified applicants was often hard for fledgling counties, and Dunn County was no different.
Dunn County was having such a problem organizing that the state legislature stepped in and they set a new election for November of 1855, before the two-year cycle of a normal term.
Newcomb was effectively ousted from his Dunn County office.
His feelings got hurt bad enough for him to now begin the process of creating a whole new county.
Lots of folks were against the new county, including two assemblymen who demanded that their minority opinion be written into the assembly journal. That opinion piece is printed and framed in the museum. For theatrics, it's read aloud by Mesh.
The shape of the new county is such as necessarily, at first look, must strike everyone of the impropriety of the division. An eye upon the map will speak a loud language.
Not exactly loud enough. Pepin became a county on February 25th, 1858.
WPR's Liz Domes-Harder brought us that story on the curious shape of Pepin County. And that story idea came from an audience member as part of our Wisconsin project. Submit your question and we might answer it in a future Wisconsin Life segment. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Hope Kerwin, filling in for Alex Crow. Our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. You can find more news anytime at WPR.org. We'll talk to you again on Monday.